Welcome to Seth's Daily Podcast. Without you, this wouldn't be possible, and thank you guys for subscribing. We are blessed enough to have an interview with Roger Ford. How are you doing today?
Hey, Seth, I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for asking. And tell us about your you're doing something with hemp, right?
Yeah, doing some things with hemp. We have farmed actually 2 years ago. All this COVID stuff last year kind of sidetracked us a little bit, but we have started the National Hemp Growers Cooperative, and it's basically a farmers co-op for people that are growing or are hoping to grow, want to grow hemp. So we are providing them kind of best practices for how to grow hemp. We provide consultation in that. We're also providing them access to markets to sell their crop. And one of those pathways to market is for a company that I'm the president of, which is Eureka Energy. And we are focused on the conversion of hemp, processing of hemp to produce fuel or energy products such as hemp pellets and gas that we would then process into transportation fuel, thinking biodiesel, thinking crude oil, jet fuel, those types of things. So there is a need for farmers out there, I think, in the hemp world, because there's been lots of problems with companies that commit to give them contracts and they just don't follow through with that. They disappear on the farmer, and it's presented some great financial risk to a farmer that has invested a lot of upfront money in this, and risk a lot of times really bet the farm on hemp, and for their buyer to disappear on them really is devastating to them economically. In a lot of cases, puts their farm at risk because they've mortgaged it at the bank, right, to get money. And so me and my partners down in Mississippi, we got together and said, you know, this is something that's needed in that space. And so 2 years ago, we put that together. We have been since late 2020, been very aggressive in pursuing members, and we have signed up several hemp farmers and are hoping to for those farmers to grow this year in Mississippi. And of course, they're already growing in Kentucky, but Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, Arkansas, and that part of the country. So, and in Florida, actually. So we were hoping for a successful harvest this coming fall for that, and all of that crop would go towards fiber or energy contracts that we're working on.
How many locations do you have in Eastern Kentucky?
We don't have anything in Eastern Kentucky presently. I was with the company Patriot Bioenergy. We were the first permit holder to process hemp in Eastern Kentucky. That's where my first focus was, on the converting of hemp to energy. And so we were looking at pellets, thinking of wood pellets, and how we could blend that with coal to help the coal industry be more competitive by helping it reduce its emissions and all that sort of thing. But unfortunately, Obama had other ideas about the coal industry. And so they put a lot of coal mines out of work, coal miners out of work, coal mines out of business, and a lot of coal-fired power plants have been shut down. They continue to shut down. So we kind of refocused our interest in what other kinds of things could we do with that. There's still opportunities there to make pellets in that market, but the market for blending with coal is greatly diminished and not as profitable, we don't believe. unfortunately, for Eastern Kentucky. This would have been a very good thing for coal mining in Eastern Kentucky, but it's not to be. So,
yeah, Obama definitely destroyed the mines.
Starting in 2008, 2009, it was just, yeah. I mean, they went in and he promised he was going to put them out of work. And that's exactly what he and Joe Biden did.
I mean, Joe Biden's doing it again.
And it's already started. And even the gas industry, I mean, they've just declared war on American energy independence, which is something that I'm very interested in. Canceling the Keystone Pipeline, first day in office. And
yeah.
Putting thousands of people out of work.
I believe it was 11,000 people, I believe.
Yeah, I think I read yesterday somewhere it said it was 70,000 so far, 100,000 something.
And something about 1.2 million by 2022.
Yeah, I mean, that's you know, and you without a – and it's no plan of what do you do? You know, well, we're going to make you unemployed. And we're not really offering a transition to something else, right? I mean, that's the problem, is that it seems that there's no comprehensive plan of how we transition. If this is the plan, that we're going to transition from reliance on fossil fuels. I personally think that there's always going to be fossil fuels in the mix, and I'm not an either or kind of guy. If it makes financial sense, let's do it. So if it's fossil fuels, if it's bioenergy, renewable energy, if it makes economic sense, let's do it. Let's do it here in Eastern Kentucky. But there didn't seem to be that idea of how we get there. I mean, there's different pieces, but it doesn't seem there's a comprehensive strategy. Of, I think Trump was fairly successful in kind of pushing that reliance on foreign energy far down, and made us energy independent. And we were a net exporter of energy, and that's a good thing. Let's hope we don't slip back into $5 diesel and $3 and $4 gasoline, you know, in the next 4 years. That's not good. It's not good for the economy. It's not good for you and I. You know, it's just not. So, cheap energy is something that we need to try to keep as cheap as possible for the consumer.
Yeah, it's actually went up since Biden's been in.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've seen it around Pikeville here, about $2.35 a gallon, $2.40. You know, that's still a little high. You know, it's still relatively cheap, but you don't want to see those spikes. You know, we were, before Trump left office, we were as low as $1.60, $1.70. So we went up 70 or 80 cents since January 1st. You know, that's not good to see those spikes. So.
Yeah. I mean, and we'll speak about you ran the Trump caravan from Pike County through Knott County, was it?
We back in October, we had the drill. I think you helped out with that some there. From Pikeville, we went to Paintsville down the Mountain Parkway, and we picked up people all along the route coming from Knott County, coming from Floyd County, Johnson County, Martin County, all through. And then we went over to Sayersville down the Mountain Parkway, divided up into two routes, and there was a southern and northern route. The northern route went up through Moorhead and back to Ashland, back around to Paintsville. And then the southern route went through Campton, Jackson, Perry County, Letcher County, and back around and finished back in Coal Run here at Pike County where we start. So it was really kind of a figure eight. Really a fan. It was really an amazing thing.
Yeah, it was all over Facebook.
Yeah, and thousands and thousands of vehicles, tens of thousands of people, and even people beside the road, people that didn't, for whatever reason, didn't participate in the actual caravan. They were actually thousands of them beside the road, you know, as you've probably seen. And that tells me we had the right candidate. This ain't about Trump. I've been in politics since I was 15. I worked my first election. My great uncle ran for ran for magistrate here in Pike County. Then he ran for county judge in Pike County. I helped him on both those campaigns. And when I was in high school, and I've seen them come and go. And this is really not about Trump. Things that we're seeing right now that they're trying to do against Trump, I personally don't. I don't think it has anything to do with him personally, except that he's the messenger. He's the messenger. He's the messenger that we need a secure border. He's the messenger that we need low taxes. He's the message that we need to be tough on China, that we need to bring our manufacturing home, especially for our medicine and our basic needs, food, medicine, healthcare, all those things are manufacturing. Doesn't need to be the lowest common denominator. I can remember when Walmart put out bumper stickers that said proudly made in the USA, and their whole, when Sam Walton was living, that was something they tried to do, is they tried to sell American made products in their store. After Sam Walton passed away, it was the lowest common denominator. So all you have now, for the most part, is just cheap Chinese products. Everything seems to be made in China if you go to Walmart. And I personally don't shop at Walmart that much.
I don't either.
For that reason, I try to buy American as much as I can. And I think that what you have is Donald Trump pushing back against this globalist idea. And I'm all about free trade and trade among nations. I'm all about that. But it's got to be fair as well as free. And if it ain't fair and free, then it's not good for America. And I think we've got people within the Republican Party that want it to be free, and they frankly don't care if it's fair. That's what I think is going on. And the way that they push their agenda is by silencing Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how they feel they do it. But, and I've even seen Republican Party, former operatives of the Republican Party get on WYMT. I'm not going to call any names, but to get on TV in an area of this state where I've personally worked for many years to elect conservatives to office, conservatives first, to office, and come on TV and give an interview and say, well, you can support Donald Trump or you can be a Republican, but you're not going to be both. You're not going to do both. I think it's counterproductive, very counterproductive, in that Donald Trump carried this part of the state, what, 80%? Or better, all of these counties. And he carried the state of Kentucky overwhelmingly. I mean, he only lost, what, Fayette County and Louisville, maybe? Mm-hmm. And out of 120 counties, he carries 118 of them. And then to basically go and gouge your finger in the eye of three-fourths of the electorate in Kentucky who supported the president, or better, 80% of the electorate, and say, well, you can't support the president and be a Republican. It's not just about Donald Trump. It's about, he's the messenger and was able to be elected on the message of a strong border, tough on China, ending these forever wars that we've been involved in for over two decades. And they don't like that. They don't like it. Obviously, the Democrats in Washington don't, right? And the Democrats in Frankfurt don't like it. But people like you and I like it. They like that message. Mm-hmm. And just because Donald Trump's not in the White House doesn't mean I'm not going to be for a secure border, that I'm not going to be for immigration reform, that I'm not going to be for low taxes, that I'm going to not be for building American products in America and trying to help put people to work. Regardless if you're red, yellow, black, or white, it don't matter. This country's in bad shape. And the only way we come out of this is by working our way out of it. And that means we got to build jobs at home. We don't ship them to China and then ship products back here, because eventually there's going to be nobody left to buy anything. That's what ends up. And maybe there's some people that's fine with that, but this guy right here, I'm not fine with that. And anybody that disagrees with me about any of that, I've got a problem with them. And there's a lot of Republicans out there, apparently, like Mitt Romney, some of these other brain trust up there in D.C. We all know who they are. We all know who they are. But I'm going to brag on Rand Paul, because Rand Paul is standing up and he's ringing the bell. He's telling them. He said, look, if you continue this nonsense, which apparently our senior senator's signaling that he may even vote to impeach Trump in a constitutional trial.
Yeah, and Trump got Mitch elected.
If you think this is about anything that's happened over the last 30 years, not about the message, not about the platform that Donald Trump put out there, this is what people are responding to. Don't make you a racist. It just makes you an American that cares about your country. And I think they're trying to silence him because they're afraid he's going to run again. I personally don't think he's going to run again. That's just my personal opinion. So what if he doesn't? His message is a winning message. Obviously, people respond to it across the spectrum. And I think that's what makes them uneasy. Sure do. And they play with fire if they think that the American people are going to just roll over. Not going to happen, in my opinion. And I think Rand Paul sees this. I'm proud to say that he's my senator because he's taking a stand and he's telling these people that, look, if you keep this up with this stuff with Trump, you're going to lose 40% of your party is going to walk away from you. And there's a great chance that happens if they don't try to unify and recognize that this message wins the day. You know, people want a secure border. They want law and order. They want people standing for the national anthem and respect for the flag and manufacturing at home. You know, why ship a job clean to China when you could ship it to Pippa Passes or Pikeville or Elkhorn City or Allen, Kentucky or Prestonsburg or any part of Eastern Kentucky where there are people that are out of work and need jobs? You know, they seem to frankly not care about that. It's just about
money,
exporters profits or something. I don't know. You know, I can't speak to what goes through their mind. I just know that I'm an American and that's what I am first and foremost. And if it makes sense for America, if it's good for America, then it's good for me. And it's good for, you know, good for people here. And it seems most of them in Washington don't believe that, unfortunately.
Mitch McConnell's winning.
It appears that might be the case. I hope I'm proven wrong. But this is a to me is very uncharacteristic of, you know, of, because he's a smart politician, always has been, and he's been very successful in getting conservative judges on the courts, and he needs the credit for helping get that done. But on this issue of trade and some of these other things, Rand Paul's right in that, on those issues, not Mitch McConnell.
Yeah,
and I'm glad we've got a senator, another senator in D.C. that reflects, you know, that point of view. I'm glad that Rand Paul's there in D.C. Speaking of going on TV, taking on these this loony bunch of socialists, you know, like George Stephanopoulos, you know, and everybody at CNN and MSNBC, you know, he's fearless. He gets on there and he stands up and he speaks his mind, and that's what we need. You know, we need that.
Yeah, Rogers has been.
Well, now, Hal Rogers, I'm going to tell you what. I've known him since even before he was our congressman. His son and I are way back, good friends. Been right to his house, spent many, many, many times with Hal Rogers and his family. And I consider him one of the best congressmen in the country. And he was the only congressman that stood by Trump, because he gets it. He gets it. And that's what makes him a good congressman. He doesn't let a party label determine which way he goes. He's going to vote the way his constituents want him to vote and what reflects his district. And that's what makes him a good congressman. He is a great congressman, Hal Rogers. And we will miss him one day when he's not there. We surely will, because he is one of the best congressmen in the country, in my opinion.
I don't think a Democrat will ever win that seat.
Well, if they're liberal, they won't. District's far different than it used to be, you know. People have gotten more conservative. You can see it. And so it's going to have to be somebody like Hal Rogers that reflects what we as a district here believe in the 5th district. If they want to go up there and pull a Joe Manchin and try to act like they're conservative when they're really not, which is what he does on a daily basis, then they're not going to be there very long if they get elected. They've got to be a real conservative if they're a Democrat to get elected in this district. And quite frankly, I'm not seeing many of those kind out there anymore in office, you know. But we'll see. You know, maybe they'll all figure it out. For our country's sake, I hope they do.
Yeah. We definitely need a good third party.
Well, you know, third parties have not tended to be very successful in the United States. It enables the other party to be more unified and the vote gets split. And I'm looking at 1912 when Teddy Roosevelt ran third party against, who was it? Taft, I guess, William Howard Taft, who was the incumbent president, who was Teddy Roosevelt's vice president. And he disagreed with a lot of what Taft was doing, had done. And so he launched a third party, and by doing so, he split the Republican base and enabled us to end up with Woodrow Wilson, who, in my opinion, was one of the worst presidents this country's ever had. He set a lot of things in motion in terms of liberal policy that we're still paying for to this day. He straight out lied to the American public, said he wouldn't go to war, and within a year he was in World War I. Third parties tend to have negative consequences a lot of times. So I would hope that the Republican leadership can figure it out and get together, that we don't have a third party. I don't think that's really a path that would be successful. Maybe, and I may be wrong, but if certain Republicans make it their mission to run out people that have supported the policies of President Trump, then that very well may happen. And it would probably end up being bad in a lot of ways. We'll probably end up with a Kamala Harris or Bernie, or even worse, as president. You know, I mean, that's just it. You got to figure out how that you come to some agreement on the issues that reflect what the voters who voted for Donald Trump represent. And that's not Wall Street, that's Main Street. And that's what's got to happen within the next couple of years.
Yeah, we definitely need a Republican governor, too.
Oh, absolutely. I think we got some good candidates.
Cameron?
Well, I don't know about that. But I think he might want to run for U.S. Senate. But I think Ron Quarles is a good candidate. I think Congressman Jamie Comer would be a good candidate. Allison Ball from Prestonsburg has potential to be a good candidate for governor. We've got a pretty deep bench when it comes to possible candidates for governor and other office. So we'll just have to see how all that shakes out. But I think some of those I've just mentioned would be good. Daniel Cameron still got to show me some things. And look, Daniel supported him in the primary. He's been a little bit of a disappointment.
Yeah, the Marcy Law thing was, I didn't like where he supported Marcy's Law.
Yeah, that looks like a great law, right? But it really is not.
No.
I mean, its intent is well thought of, but I don't know that it accomplishes that. I think it puts a lot of people at risk from false accusations, and I think there's some negative blowback on that. But yeah, Marcy's Law is not good. Of course, I majored in history in college, and I'm about preserving history, and I didn't really appreciate Mr. Cameron jumping in bed with Governor Beshear to throw Jefferson Davis' statue out of the Capitol building. And that's not to say that I like or dislike Jefferson Davis, but I'm not about tearing down statues and monuments. I'm just not. It's our history, good or bad, and we need to know about it. We need to understand it. And just throwing statues onto the ash heap of history, I don't think is I simply don't like it. And I think he should have also, as an attorney general, I think he should have gotten in there with Texas and some of these other states that sued Pennsylvania and Michigan and Georgia and these states over these election problems. He didn't. He says he didn't. He told me personally that he had never done it, even though it initially got reported that he had. Step up and prove that he's got the wherewithal to represent his constituency in Kentucky. I'd like to be for him again, but we'll have to wait and see about that.
Yeah, I only voted for him because he ran against Liberal Stumbo.
Yeah, you know, and like I said, I supported him twice when he ran. But it's been disappointing to me in several ways, some of the things that he's done. He's done some good things. I mean, I think he's been pretty strong on pro-life, but I think he could have been far more aggressive on a lot of these lockdown orders and violations of the Constitution. I think he could have been out there in a greater presence and taking the lead on a lot of this. Things have been left up, really, if it hadn't been for a couple of private attorneys representing these churches and businesses. I don't know where we'd be at right now, but, you know, it's kind of disheartening when the chief law enforcement officer of the state, the attorney general, you know, kind of waits to challenge the unconstitutional shutdown of churches. I've got a real problem with that. More than any of this other stuff, I think the fact that he's told churches that they couldn't have church was just simply unconstitutional and not right. Whether or not you're having church, not having church, the government should not be forcing you to shut your church down. Just because we got a pandemic, that means we shred the Constitution. That's the way I look at it. We got to figure out how we protect people and preserve the Constitution all at the same time. And what's went on in Kentucky and other states, in my opinion, has been way off the mark in terms of preserving the Constitution. And I've been criticized for saying that, but that's not to say that I think that this virus is not serious. I've had family members that have gotten very sick from it. But I think that singling out churches and small business for forced closure is just simply un-American.
But 5,000 people can go up to Kentucky, boy.
Oh, yeah, well, they're having a concert in Pikeville this weekend, but they canceled Hillbilly Days. So, don't make a lot of sense, right? It's not very rational. But
it's all about money.
It's all about something. I don't know what. They've got a thought process. I'm not in there in the room, so I don't know what that is, but it doesn't make a lot of sense on a lot of these things that they've done. But I know when it comes to the Constitution and them forcing churches to close, I am 100% against anybody that's for that. That's straight up. I'm just not for that.
Yeah, they was arresting people for going to church.
Yeah, I mean, this is America. Have you ever seen that happen? I've never seen that happen. I've never even heard of a threat of that happening. But they just think they can do it, you know? Our church went for a number of weeks and didn't have services. But I think you leave that up to the individual church and you let them make that responsible decision. You don't mandate it and send the state to arrest the preacher if they violate your order. The Constitution, I think, is pretty clear on that, that the government cannot interfere in the free exercise of religion.
Yeah, the Democrat Party doesn't believe in the Constitution, though.
A lot of them don't. A lot of them don't. Well, they think it's a living document. They think you can just change it when it suits you. You know, it's all situational rights. In this situation, yeah, okay. In this situation, well, no, we don't think you. You know, that's kind of how it is. You got to stand up and support the right of free speech, even when you disagree with that person's free speech. You know, I might not agree with what you're saying, but I'm not going to try to use the power of the government to silence you. And that's what's going on right now. There's a point of view that they don't want to hear, so they've got to shut it up.
Yeah, like them deleting Parler.
Well, all that. But, you know, I found it interesting from, of all people, Vladimir Putin the other day, and he was talking about that big tech, Facebook, YouTube, Google, Twitter, all these companies, big tech, was actually challenging the sovereign rights of nation states, that they basically were trying to set themselves above the way they were doing, above states like the United States, Russia, and other places, and trying to enforce their point of view by censoring speech and blocking things that they disagree with politically. He says that's very dangerous. And you know what? This guy was a KGB agent. He was a spy master. And he's saying this, you know, that's bizarre, you know, but I tend to agree with that. I think they see themselves above whatever country they're in, which is most of them are in the United States, all of them. But they see themselves as some kind of something bigger than the state itself. And that's dangerous. You know, that's an oligarch. That's a little group of people. You know, it used to be what Russia was about. You had this little group of people that basically controlled by force a whole country, millions of people. And that's what's going on right now. They're using their power to try to control millions and millions of people. And what you and I think about and how we think, they are manipulating our reality on a daily basis. By what we see when we look for information, they are manipulating that by these algorithms. So when you search for something, they're using what information you get. That alters your reality if you're looking to form an opinion about something, because you're being denied full access to information. That is dangerous. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. But until somebody steps in and says no more, it's going to only get worse, in my opinion. But something needs to be done about it. Because I'm all about the free exchange of ideas. But when you pick and choose what ideas are free and what are not, who are you to be telling me that? That's up to me to decide. I should have all the information and make my own decision.
They're trying to take God out of the country.
Oh, I think they're well on their way. You know, they want to push God out of the public square. So if you can silence God, if you can silence the recognition of God, if you can shut down churches and quit right, and congregate together as they see fit, and if you do all that, then you're well on your way to basically a godless society. And that's what they want. They want to push religion. They want to put specifically Christianity out the door. They want to silence it. They push it underground. So we're going to end up like China, you know. We're going to end up like China. They're over there right now going after Muslims, a whole little Muslim sect there in the western part of the country. And they're going about basically wiping those people out. You know, rounding them up, mass murder, imprison them, indoctrination camps, rape squads. They're sending men out just to and squads looking for women and raping them. And we're saying nothing about that, but as a country, as a government, nothing is being said about that. And it's terrible. Those types of things. But the very people that turn a blind eye to that are okay with shutting the door on your local church. You know, both things are wrong. And somebody should speak up and say something about it. But, you know, what do you do? So.
Well, I want to thank you for doing the interview, man.
Oh, absolutely. Best of luck to you in your podcast. And And just send me a link. I'll share it. Try to increase your subscriber list.
Thanks, man.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day.
You have a good day, and God bless.
God bless you.
This has been the interview with Roger Ford. I want to thank him for doing the interview. Without you, this wouldn't be possible. I want to thank you guys for subscribing. Y'all have a good day, and God bless.